So welcome to 12 Stone. And after all the wonderful stories of life change from last year's Double Dog Dare series, I knew we would have to go one layer deeper and do Double Dog Dare Part 2. See, there are yet things that are kind of in our way, keeping us from the better life that God would have for us. Now, I can confess, I have a good life. I've been forgiven of my sin through Jesus. I have the promise of eternal life. I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I have a great wife and marriage and kids and family. I'm part of a great church. I'm in a great community. God's been very gracious. And yet, I can, and I want to get better in many areas of my life. And I want that for you. And if we're going to get better, then God is going to challenge us to better our character. See, character is core to a better life. Character is core. Say that with me. Character is what? Core. I want everybody across the campuses, if you're online or you're listening, jump in on this. I want you to say it with me. Character is what? Core to a better life. See, you can't have a flourishing life on floundering character. Eventually, your life will implode. And by God's design, He made it so that if we would just conquer our character, the things that conquer us, we would get the better life. See, character is kind of core to the better life, as core muscles are key to better fitness. The people who are into fitness, you understand that core training is foundational to fitness. Do you understand that the core, the midsection, which is more than just the abs, it's the front, it's the side, it's the back, and there's about a dozen or so muscles or groups of muscles that right there in the core, this is the very place that stabilizes and strengthens your whole body. And a couple of months ago, the trainer, Alex, asked me to do some push-ups. I said, no problem. And then he said, well, now I want your feet, your toes, up on the big training ball. I said, no problem. I can do push-ups that way. He said, no, hang on. And then I want your two hands on the mini-weighted training ball, the little 10-pounder here. That was a big problem. See, I tried. Repeat, I could not suspend myself between the two and do push-ups. I just kept falling. It was unbelievably frustrating. And then Alex reinforced. See, no matter how thin you look or how big your muscles look, a weak core is a weak body. You know, the next time we got together for training, I said, Alex, before you ask me to do that again here, I haven't actually seen it done before. See, secretly, I wasn't even sure he could do it. So I'm like, why don't you show me how it's done? And then I grabbed my iPhone, and this is what happened. Tick me off. How many know what I'm talking about? Just hands up. If you automatically know what I'm talking, see, it ticks me off. When someone talks big and then they can actually do it, that ticks me off. I found it quite annoying. For the next 4 weeks of this series, I'm going to double dog dare you to conquer four character areas in your life that are absolutely core to a better life. These are the very things that when you conquer them, you stabilize and strengthen the whole of your life. And the first one I picked 3 or 4 months ago. And it's in your teaching notes. So everybody across campus, grab your teaching notes. Here we go. One word you can fill in the blank. And here's the word push. The word is push. Everybody say it with me loud and proud. Ready? 1, 2, 3. What's the word? Push. That's right. And it's one dare. It's right there in your notes. Push yourself to reach a worthwhile finish line. Push yourself to reach a worthwhile finish line. In other words, if you want to reach something you cannot reach, if you want to someday reach what you cannot reach today, you're going to have to learn to push yourself. See, that is the character to push. The character to push yourself when it's easier to quit. Now, this was obviously modeled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who voluntarily came to earth to fulfill the will of his Father in heaven. Would have been the easiest thing in the world to quit on. But he crossed the finish line. He lived a life of obedience. And then he voluntarily went to the cross and suffered to cover our sin debt out of his love for us. Scripture tells us that prior to that crucifixion and the brutality of it all, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, I wish I didn't have to endure this pain and suffering. And then on the cross, in his final breaths, he said, it is finished. See, the truth of the matter is, Jesus not only modeled it for us, but God has already made possible the majority of what's needed for us to have a better life. God created the heavens and the earth. God created us, spirit beings in his image, wrapped in a physical body. And God has given us oxygen and water and food and relationships. God has given us forgiveness of sin through Jesus and the promise of eternal life if we'll believe and receive. God has given us the Holy Spirit who indwells us and empowers us. God has given us the Bible, his word, the truth to guide us in life so we can know how to live life to the full. God's given us his church. This is almost a place where we encourage one another and strengthen one another. This is almost like a spiritual fitness training center. God's given us the majority of what we need for us to spiritually grow up, for us to have a better life. But there are some things only you can do. Only you can do. And one of them is push yourself. See, that you must do. If you want to do someday, if you want to reach someday what you cannot reach today, you are going to have to execute on this thing called push. You're going to have to cultivate the character to push yourself. When, of course, it's much easier to quit. And I decided back in September that when I taught today, I wanted to do more than teach the idea push. I wanted to teach from the experience, the current experience of the pain and the process of crossing a finish line. And that was decided all the way back in August, September. See, our family enjoys the American Ninja Warrior. By the way, have any of you seen it? Are you fans of it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Hands up across campuses. Let me hear a little bit loud and proud if you know what I'm talking about with American Ninja Warrior. All right. Well, our family has enjoyed it. In fact, in August, my sons went to Slingshot Entertainment and tested out a few of the obstacles. Two of the most noted kind of iconic ones were the warped wall, which is like 14 feet, run up this wall and get to the top, pull yourself up, and the salmon ladder, which is like this pull-up challenge. And then they came home and showed me videos. In fact, here's an annoying video of my college-age son, Jake, making something incredibly difficult look easy. Check it out.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Come on. Come on, Jake.
How is that possible? How is that possible? Yeah.
Okay, well, of course he did it. He's 6'2", he's in college, he's fit. But the oldest guy that's ever even qualified for the Ninja Warrior thing was 54 years old. I'm 55. I have no chance. I'm never going to get up the salmon ladder. I can only do 2 to 3 push-ups, and they're not very good anyway. I'm 5'8" on my best day. I'm not going to get up the warped wall. But I thought, if I'm going to teach push in the new year, maybe I ought to push myself and pick something that I can't reach without pushing myself. And so the video you're about to see was captured during a church staff leadership training in September. In a moment when I asked Travis to come up on stage with me, and he had no idea what was coming. Listen. Now, have a seat. Now, we're talking about pushing yourself beyond things you cannot easily reach. And this past January, we walked into the new year with a Double Dog Dare series. And you walked into my office with cameras, and you thought it'd be kind of funny.
What is happening? I don't like this at all.
And you thought it'd be funny if I didn't know what was happening, but you did.
And it you was said, my idea, and you said, Mike.
And you said, and you said, we're going to walk in, and we're going to spoof all PK, right, and we're going to double dog dare him. So I thought, you know what? I'd get ahead of the game this year. Since we're going to do double dog dare again, only with different topics, the whole character thing.
Awesome.
Seems to me we ought to do double dog dare and teach push. And while I do that, I thought, well, let's push one early. So I'd like to double dog dare you.
I'd love to hear it.
To do the warped wall.
Oh my gosh.
And the salmon ladder.
Oh my gosh.
By January 2017. You got now till then. How's that? Come on, man.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah. Life's filled with excuses. I mean,
yep. And torn PCLs, just obliterated PCLs.
Just torn, obliterated?
No.
Yeah, hey.
I would love to take on this dare with gusto.
I'm not going to make you do it alone. Because, see, this isn't about pushing you where nobody else is going to go. I'm not going to compete with you. I'd like to encourage you.
I think we all know that.
Some mid-50s year old, no way has a shot.
I had to say it.
There's no way I have a shot.
Right.
But I want to encourage you, and I'm going to attempt to train between now and then join you in the effort.
That'd be awesome.
Now, just so you know, conversations with my family about this over the weekend, they said, please, Dad, don't. So they said, there's no chance at 5'8", minus whatever you've lost, is ever going to get up the warp wall. So that was encouraging.
Right.
And then they said, no, we've done this this salmon ladder, and the chances of you making up the salmon ladder without back surgery or shoulder surgery are most unlikely. And that spurred me on all the more. So I'm going to do it. I think you ought to give it your best shot. So between now and then, we're going to prepare and push ourselves in order to reach what we cannot today reach by ourselves. So
no
give
doubt.
It up for Travis. Double dog dare. Yeah, good for you. Well, there you have it. So I pushed myself from September to January. And from that experience, I have 4 lessons for all of us to learn from if we're going to push ourselves to our next or our new. It's in your teaching notes. Here we go. Number 1, keep up if you can. Publicly declare. The first thing you do is publicly declare. Jot it down. See, I can tell you immediately why I publicly declared my finish line in front of the staff, and then ultimately I knew it would come in front of all of you. Because here's what I know about me. I have the ability to commit myself to a better life and then simultaneously quit on myself. How many of you have that gift? Hands up, cross campuses. You have the ability to commit to something that'll better your life and then simultaneously quit on it. Of course, look at all the people. Hands back up. Look at all the people who have that same gift. See, I knew that I had this capacity. And James, the younger brother of Jesus, was telling us that there's something that needs to stop. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me over to James chapter 4. In your worship center Bibles across the campuses, James chapter 4, we're on page 1218. James chapter 4, page 1218. And here in verse 7, I want us to take a look. James is kind of giving us insight in how you get this better life with God. And he gives us some very practical things. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm coming back to that thought, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And so James is telling you, if you really want to experience God's better life, here's what it means to come to God, lean on God, depend on God, find the power of God freed up in your life. But in the midst of it, he says, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. What's he talking about? See, he says that right there has to stop, because it's when in the one mind, your mind, you have two minds competing. You at one time can say, I want the better life God has, and kind of dare yourself to go after that, and then simultaneously do the opposite. See, I have that gift, so do you. And James is saying, that needs to end. So here's where I'm going with you. I double dog dare you to stop being double-minded, to break through, to conquer your character, to no longer be double-minded, to go after the very area that God would challenge you and push you. See, why do all the dares have to be for something dumb or dangerous? Yeah, like Travis did for me last year. If you were here last year, Double Dog Dare series, Travis challenged me to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Now, what a dumb challenge is that? See how much better I did for Travis. I Double Dog Dare Travis to something that's helpful. Get more physically fit. Get your core right, Travis. Just as I want to Double Dog Dare you to learn to push yourself. Listen, studies have concluded, let me read, that people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't explicitly make resolutions. So I'm going to help you like I helped Travis. I'm going to help you publicly declare. Here's what I mean. For the next month, you can start today, you can start tomorrow, get on my Facebook. Get on my Facebook page. Right at the bottom of your teaching notes, it tells you how to do that. Get on my, even if you're not a Facebook person, get on my Facebook page and publicly declare, where are you going to push yourself to get a better life this year? Now, I don't know where it's going to be. I know that Scranton University has identified some of the most common. Number one is lose weight. And maybe that is it for you. Maybe this whole idea of getting physically fit or being able to, if you will, get your core right so you can do push-ups on the training balls or get up the warped wall or get up a salmon ladder or whatever it means for you to get physically right, because being physically right greatly impacts your life. It can really lead to a better life. Maybe for you it's kind of like what one-third of the people do every year, and they make a commitment to push themselves in a relationship. They need to win some things they're not usually winning. In fact, for many, that is true for their marriage. That's why in the next series in February, it's going to be called Fight Night. Because most marriages have never learned how to fight, yet both win. Don't know what to do with disagreement and arguments and anger. And end up destroying the marriage rather than building stabilizing strength. Maybe that's where you need to push. One of the more common top 10 every year seems to be spend less and save more. Maybe that's yours. Maybe it's going to be to stop a bad habit. What do you know that if you could stop that bad habit, you'd have a better life by the end of 2017, by the end of the next 3 months? Maybe it's start a healthy habit. What is it for you that needs to be your next finish line? I can't figure out what your push needs to be. But I can tell you this. If you won't decide and declare, you have no reason to believe anything will be better at the end of 2017. So the first thing you do is publicly declare. Number two, if you're following along your notes, here we go. Invite others in. Jot it down. Invite others in. Incredibly practical. See, after publicly declaring with the staff that I was going to push myself to be ready for the warped wall and to be ready for the salmon ladder, I spent the month of September making very little progress, to be honest. And then I knew why Solomon wrote what he did in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at it. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Oh, you see, we can't do this stuff alone. I was falling down. In fact, Travis and I were mutually struggling, and we would send videos back and forth just to remind each other how big a struggle. Here's just an example of a couple videos that Travis sent my way. You'll get the idea.
So if I fail at this challenge, I have no one to blame except the organization that I work for.
Just look at just candy everywhere.
It's 10:30 at night, and all I can think about is whether to eat these two bags of Welch's fruit snacks or to eat every bag of Welch's fruit snacks in this entire house.
See, if I was going to get honest with myself at the end of September, coming into October, I was never going to be ready at the pace I was on. Even though I had declared it on my own, I was stumbling. I was going to need to invite someone else in. Because when you do, you have someone to kind of help pick you up. And when they stumble, you help pick them up. And that's how I ended up with that relationship with Alex the trainer. I invited someone in, and I changed my calendar, and I changed my accountability. Listen, I put him on my calendar early in the morning so that it was non-negotiable, even when I didn't feel like it. And I changed my accountability. Here's what he required. Every day, I had to get on the scale. Every day, I hate getting on the scale. I had to get on the scale, get my iPhone, and take a picture of my weight and text it to him every day. That's intimidating. That's accountability. That's annoying. See, the truth is we need others to help encourage us and to help bring about accountability to do the very things we desire to do. See, I was never going to make it up a warped wall. I wasn't even physically capable of trying. I wasn't going to have any shot at a salmon ladder. In fact, honestly, in the midst of that, what I was really hoping as a private goal, I wanted to get my body fat percentage down. During last year's Double Dog Dare, I wanted to really get it down into the teens. My real wish would have been like 15% body fat. I never got below the kind of the low 20s, and it was frustrating. I was never going to get there unless I engaged in some kind of a invite someone else in. Let me just time out right here. The truth of the matter is, I've never broken through any major character conquering without having somebody else alongside. Since my 20s, to ultimately get what I would call the better life that I quite enjoy these days, it's come by being in a small group or accountability group or inviting others in where there's mutual encouragement and mutual accountability to cross the finish lines and do the very things we desire and declare we want to do. Because without them, I won't do it on my own. It gets too difficult. See, if I didn't know I was meeting Alex, I would just quit working out. Okay. I made Travis play a couple of his videos. I'll show you, with obviously no pride here, a couple of the videos I sent along to Travis to illustrate. I'm in the middle of the push commitment, which means I got to eat different. I'm cooking myself some bell peppers, some tomatoes, a little bit of lean, really lean, 95% lean ground beef. Oh yeah, that's lunch. It's awesome.
Well, it's 6 a.m., got to sleep around 2:30, and it's time to meet the trainer. Some days I hate, no, most days I hate doing this.
9. Sweet. I like the after better.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is, just because I declared it didn't mean I would do it. I needed to invite someone else in. Maybe that's what's broken in your world. Maybe you've declared all sorts of things that you need to push yourself to bring about the better life God would have for you, but you're not getting there. Because all on your own, you can excuse yourself. See, if I wasn't meeting Alex, I wouldn't have shown up. Listen, we are going to revolutionize, reinvent, and transform small groups around 12 Stone in 2017 for the sake of benefiting all of us, knowing that if you don't get in a small group, an environment of a small group like a team or an accountability relationship, if you don't invite others in, you're never going to get the better life. I wrote it this way. See, we know that if all you do is show up on weekends occasionally, then you have little chance for a consistently better life. Most consistent change happens in some kind of group with others, where you become known, where you encourage one another, and you bring about an encouraging accountability toward the finish lines for the better life. So, how about you? Where do you need to push? Publicly declare. Then invite others in. Then number three, control training. Jot it down, control training. In fact, here's how I wrote it in my notes. I didn't give you this long sentence, but I can control my training, but I can't control my results. See, because if I just try and get the results before I've done all the training, everything breaks down for me. So what I can control is my training. It was during that 3 months, the last 3 months, that I rediscovered the difference between trying versus training. See, trying is when you give it your best effort once. But training is where you give it your best effort repeatedly. You build muscle over time until you can do it. So you remember the push-ups conversation? Remember Alex said, can you put your toes up on the big training core ball and hands on the mini weight ball and do push-ups? The truth of the matter is, I tried. In that moment, I tried. I gave it my absolute all, and I fell, and I fell, and I fell, and I fell repeatedly. What was missing was not my trying, but my training. What training looked like is every week, 6 days a week, I would work out every day, a minimum of 800 calories burned. Three of the six would be with Alex, three would be on my own. And then, of course, change my eating habits. And after 6 to 8 weeks of that, then, to no surprise, with training, I was able to do those push-ups. Hear me. For most of us, our marriage doesn't need more trying. It needs more training. I've listened to tons of people who've said, well, our marriage has come to an end. And I said, well, let's put a little more effort into it. Let me talk. No, I've already tried. I've already tried. See, but if trying is nothing more than trying to do a push-up you can't do because you don't have the core character, the core muscles, you haven't done the training, well, of course you can't do those. See, without training, that was never going to happen. Most marriages have been trying but not training. That's why when we hit the Fight Night series, that's going to be huge. In fact, we're going one better. We got good news. We're going to do a Fight Night conference. February the 18th, Saturday night, from 7 to 9:30. I'm telling you, this will be training that can transform your core character. When you learn how to fight, go through difficulty, arguments, disagreements, even anger, and tear down the wall and restore and stabilize and strengthen the core of your marriage rather than tear it down. And most people have tried but never trained. Come for the training. Now, it's most unfortunate, I regret, that we can only have 1,200 couples to that event. And so the tickets go on sale today, and you see the details on how to get those tickets in the bulletin. Go get them. Men, step up to the plate. If you don't do it physically, just tell your wife, hey, that's the week when we need together to go do this. You buy tickets, I want to go. We need training. First 1,200 couples get to go, buy your tickets, and you can't get in without tickets. See, marriage needs more than trying, it needs training. Hey, by the way, faith needs more than trying, it needs training. Many people try, oh, I've tried to follow God, I've tried to build character, I've tried, and it's been nothing more than a few tries trying to do the push-ups on the training balls. When the fact of the matter is, there is some regimen that goes with it, training regimen. I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but I'll just give you some examples. See, a training regimen could look like this, that you make God first. You say, you know what, in 2017, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make God first in my worship. God said one every 7 days, and I think he set up that training regimen for a reason. So I'm going to set aside Sunday and make sure that every Sunday I adjust my calendar. I'm going to adjust my calendar around God. In fact, you may literally say to somebody else, look, I'll meet you at whatever campus you have your friend or you meet. I'll meet you at this campus at this time every week, and you can expect to see me. And if I'm not there, I'll give accountability as to why. It means I'm out of town or it means somebody's deathly sick. But the decision is made because if God's going to be first, then he's got to be first in your worship. He's got to be first in your day. Here's a suggestion, kind of training regimen. On my PK Facebook, on my Facebook page, we're going to offer some training. The campus pastors have joined me, and they have written devotionals for each day. We'll load them the night before. We'll make it available to you the next morning. Every morning, you start your day. The first thing you do that day is spend some time with God. How about first in finances? Part of your regimen. Make God first in your finances. See, if you want God to be freed up to bless your finances, then honor him with first fruits. Now, for many of us, we've heard and we understand the training. The first 10% goes back to God. We practice that in our lives and have our whole marriage. You've made commitments to God, many of you, and you've kind of fallen off that regimen, that commitment of honoring God first. Or whatever, you pick the number, you pick the percentage. I mean, I think that's biblically what it states as the beginning of honoring God, but you set your own. Whatever you can cheerfully do, but make God first. Make God first in your actions. Here's what it simply means. The Bible tells us what is truth and what is righteousness. Whatever God says is righteous, you agree with God and you adjust your actions to what God said is righteous. And when you fall from it, even though you live in a world that says what God calls righteous, the world calls unrighteous, and what the world calls righteous, God calls unrighteous, well, then you agree with God and you make sure your actions agree with him. All that means is this. Take all your risks on being obedient to God. Your action is obedience. And when you sin, be quick to confess and say, God, I'm going to correct. See, this is an example of a training regimen that you could make. That's kind of how you do your faith training regimen with God. And let me just tell you something. When you excuse your training, you lose your finish line. See, I went public. I invited someone in. And then I had to control my training. I had to stay with it, so that I would even have a chance at American Ninja Warrior. So Travis and I finally went January 3rd. Check it out.
Yeah.
Morning, man.
Amazing.
Did you have any music for us?
No.
Eye of the Tiger.
Awkward silence.
You got any music for me?
Just don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Well, there you have it, our finish line effort. Yes, I made it up the warped wall, surprising, at 5'8". No, I did not make it all the way up the salmon ladder of the 5. I made it 3.5 up. And here's what I have to tell you. Some things look easier on TV than they are when it's your turn. Oh, yeah, I hit some of my finish lines. In fact, I hit my 15% body fat goal by the end of December. And of all the things I hit, here's what I concluded. It's a lot easier to watch somebody do it than to do it yourself. Have you noticed that you probably watched that and said, oh, I think I can get up that wall. Oh, you know what? I think I do that salmon ladder. I watched him fail. I watched him get up a few. I think I could do that. But why don't you give it a shot? In fact, you may have looked at the push-ups on those two core training balls and said, oh, I can do it. Why don't you go give that a shot? Because here's what you know. See, when it's your turn to push, it's a little more demanding. When it's your marriage, it's a little more difficult. When it's your kids to parent, push is a little more difficult. When it's your fitness to win, it's a little more difficult. When it's your finances to discipline, it's a little more difficult. When it's your faith and obedience, a little more difficult. And yet, if you don't learn to push, you never get the better life. Well, the four things I learned, the last is redefine giving it my all. Jot it down. Redefine giving it my all. See, over Christmas, a friend of mine heard about what I was doing in this whole fitness training thing, and he said, hey, I have a book I want to recommend to you. It's a non-Christian book, and it's called Living with a SEAL, and here's the premise. A guy named Jesse invited a Navy SEAL to come live with him for 31 days and to train him. And the Navy SEAL said, under one condition, here's what he said, you do everything I say, and that means everything. I can wake you anytime and push you to any extreme. Nothing is off limits. By time we are done, you'll do 1,000 push-ups in a day. And Jesse agreed. And here's what he learned. He learned the Navy SEAL had this philosophy of life, that most people hit their lid. Most people run out of gas. Most people are done. Most people are exhausted. Most people say, it's over. And they've only exhausted 40% of their energy. They have a 50, 60% tank that is a reserve tank untapped, and they have not trained themselves how to tap that tank. That's what he went and did for Jesse. Now, I don't know that the percentages are scientific, but I believe the concept. See, I knew that if I didn't invite someone in like a trainer, if I didn't invite someone else in, if I didn't create encouragement and accountability, if I tried to do this on my own, I'd never be able to push myself. See, Alex was able to push me in ways that make me have to redefine when I say I've given something my all. Why am I talking about this? The answer is found in Matthew chapter 22. Everybody grab their Bibles across the campuses and turn over to Matthew chapter 22, page 990. Matthew chapter 22, page 990. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus is teaching, and one of the questions comes to him. Teacher Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Listen, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And then the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And I reread that after reading Jesse's book. And it made me wonder. So let me read it again. Love the Lord your God with all. Everybody say that with me. Love the Lord your God with what? All. Keep going with me. With all your heart. And with what? All your soul. And with all your mind. And here's what I wondered. How does Jesus define all? Because Jesus said he gave his all. And maybe, just maybe, if I understood how Jesus defined all, if I really have said to God so many times, I love you with all my heart, I began to wonder, have I ever really loved God with all, or has it only been 40%? And if I would redefine giving my all the way Jesus meant all, and I loved God with my all, what kind of better life would I have with God? What would it mean for you in 2017 to love the Lord your God with all. Well, there you have it. What's a worthwhile finish line for you? Where do you need to push? So get on my Facebook this week and publicly declare where in your life you're going to push. Invite someone else in, and I hope we're going to double dog dare you to get in small group and you'll learn more about it. I hope you'll do that. And control your training. You can't control your results, but you can keep pushing, just as Travis and I experienced as ninja warriors. 12 stone, when you push, sometimes you reach your goal, and it's awesome. Then we all get to celebrate.
12 stone, sometimes you push and you train and you don't make it, but that's why you keep training. You keep pushing.